Hello and welcome to Spoilers, this first introduction to the play Gamma Gurton's Needle. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, a plain text being just our first edit for our full cast audio recording. So it has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, takes, retakes, cuts. It's not mixed, it's not fixed, it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait a week or two for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, look for the episodes, future up the podcast list. Seriously, this is an exercise that some listeners won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, let's enter Spoiler Land.
Spoiler Land.
So, Gamma Gurton's Needle, printed in 1575, written some decade or two earlier, by a Mr. S, who could be somebody or someone else, one of the two. Act 2 is separated from Act 1 by some singing. Musicians, a fiddle player, etc. Maybe if this were an indoor evening performance, the acts are necessary to trim candles, so there's a little break between acts, some music, and in this case, a song, which we're not doing. The song is from Dame Chat's alehouse, whatever we want to call it, where some impromptu singing is occurring. It reminds the audience that this doorway is in the general direction of ale, where Dickon left to drink earlier, in part exchange, in his case, for bacon he stole from Gamma Gurton. Bacon, Gamma, get it? He enters, commending the singers, calling back to Dame Chat for one more ale.
Well done, by gogs, Malt. Well sung and well said. Come on, Mother Chat. Oh, as thou art a true maid.
This one for the road prompts him to remind us that he doesn't actually live anywhere and that all directions lead to his home.
Now, were he a wise man, by cunning could define which way my journey lieth, or where Dickon will dine. But one good turn I have, be it by night or day, south, east, north or west, I am never out of my way.
At which point Hodge enters, annoyed that he has had no dinner. After a hard day working the fields, nothing.
Which I'm goodly rewarded, am I not, do you think? Chad a goodly dinner for all my sweat and swink. Neither butter, cheese, milk, onions, flesh nor fish. Save this poor piece of barley bread.
Dickon says hi. He's probably a bit tipsy, which might be mitigation for the mischief he's going to do
it's
next.
A pleasant, costly dish.
Hail, fellow Hodge, and well to fare with thy meat, if you have any. But by thy words, as I them smell, thy dainchels be not many.
Dainchels, Dickon? Gog so, man. Save this piece of dry horse bread, chap bit no bit this livelong day. No crumb come in my head. My guts, they yawl, crawl, and all my belly rumbleth. The puddings cannot lie still. Each one over other tumbleth.
So, Hodge's guts are turning over, only getting dry horse bread, and Dickon asks, knowing that he stole Hodge's dinner, why no food?
Why, Hodge, was there none at home thy dinner for to set?
Oh, gog's bread, Dickon. I came too late. Was nothing there to get. Jib, a foul fiend might on her light, licked the milk pan so clean. See, Dickon, 'twas not so well washed this 7 year, as I ween. A pestilence light on an ill luck. Chad thought yet for all this of a morsel of bacon behind the door at worst should not miss. But when I saw a slip to cut, as I was wont to do, gog's souls, Dickon. Jib our cat had eat the bacon too.
Why has Hodge had no supper? Well, the chaos in the house meant there's no milk, it was drunk by the cat, and the bacon, well, Dickon stole that earlier. And that's on top of the hole in his breeches. Dickon, the cause of some of this, rubs it in.
Oh, thy milk slopped up, thy bacon filched. Oh, that was too bad, Lockhart.
And there's more, as Hodge fills in Dickon about the lost needle. Cue some wordplay.
Where's she not gone, trowest now, though, and lost her needle?
Her eel, Hodge?
Huh?
Who fished of late?
What?
That was a dainty dish.
Tush, tush. Her needle, man. 'Tis neither flesh nor fish.
Then Dickon weaves a tale. If Hodge is good to him, he can get the needle. Hodge will do anything in return.
Shall run, shall ride, shall dig, shall delve, shall toil, shall trudge, shall see, shall hold, shall draw, shall pull, shall pinch, shall kneel on my bare knee.
Dickon does wonder why Hodge is so keen to get his trousers sorted out. It is because Hodge has a hot date.
Is there any special cause they'll take us here at such sorrow?
Kirstjen Clack, Tom Simpson's mate, by the mass, comes hither tomorrow. Which I'm not able to say between us what may hap. She smiled on me the last Sunday when I put off my cap.
So Dickon makes Hodge swear to secrecy. Not having a book to swear on, he swears on Dickon's arse.
Shalt swear to be no blab, Hodge.
Child, Dickon.
Then go to. Lay thine hand here. Oh. Say after me, as thou shalt hear me do.
Yeah.
Hast no book?
Oh, cha no book, I.
Then needs must force us both.
Oh.
Upon my breech to lay thine hand, and there to take thine oath.
I, Hodge Breechless, swear to Dickon Richless, by the cross that I shall kiss to keep his counsel close, and always me to dispose to work that his pleasure is.
Here he kisseth Dickon's breech, which suggests it's like kissing Satan's arse, which is a thing. Which leads us to Dickon's informant. To find the needle, Dickon is going to pretend to call up the devil. We saw hints that Hodge is superstitious and gullible in the first act, so this follows on neatly. Dickon has found his first mark.
What? The great devil, Dickon, I say?
Oh, yea, in good faith, that is the way. Fet with some pretty char.
Soft, Dickon. Be not too hasty yet. By the mass, for I begin to sweat. I'm afraid of some harm.
Hodge is starting to get very afraid. Dickon starts to conjure, drawing a circle, giving commands.
Come hither then, and stir thee not. One inch out of this circle, plat, but stand as I thee teach.
And shall I be here safe from their claws?
The master devil, with his long paws, here too thee cannot reach.
Unfortunately, Hodge is so afraid, it turns his stomach further, and he shits himself in fright.
Shall mar all.
The matter is no worse than I told
by it. By the mass, I'm able no longer to hold it. So bad, I must bewray thee all.
Stand to it, Hodge. Stir not, you horse son. Oh, what devil be thine arse-string bursting? All thyself a while, but stay. The devil, I smell him, will be here anon.
Hold him fast, Dickon.
And off runs Hodge into the house. So why does the play get Hodge to shit himself? Well, it's so that he has to change his breeches. When he returns, he must be wearing the pair that Gamma Gurton was mending when she lost her needle. This is all stated in Act 1. The audience knows, from the prologue, that this is where the needle is. So you can't cut the shitting bit for being childish. It's structurally vital to the play. It is the pivot around which the action turns. Anyway, exit Hodge, and Dickon now has a thought as to how he can make this situation worse. All comedy must ask this question. How do you make the situation worse? In this case, Dickon decides to set Gamma and Dame Chat across the road against one another.
Soft,
Let me alone. I will take the charge this matter further to enlarge within a time short. If ye will mark my ties and note, I will give ye leave to cut my throat if I make not good sport. Dame Chat, I say, where be ye within?
Enter Chat, who initially is rather annoyed at being distracted. She was playing cards inside. She sees, however, that it's Dickon.
Who have we there maketh such a din?
Here is a good fellow, maketh no great danger.
Oh, what Dickon? Come near, ye be no stranger.
And here Chat calls instructions to a servant, Doll, who doesn't speak and might not even be on stage, to continue playing her hand with suitable gambling instructions.
Come hither, Doll! Doll, sit down and play this game. And as thou sawest me do, see thou do even the same. There is 5 trumps beside the queen, the hindmost thou shall find her. Take heed of Sim Glover's wife, she hath an eye behind her. Now, Dickon, say your will.
Nay.
Dickon again calls her to secrecy and spins her a yarn about Gamma losing her cock. Not her servant cock, her cockerel.
Here is Gamma Girton, your neighbour, a sad and heavy wight. Her goodly fair red cock at home was stole this last night.
Grog's soul! Her cock with the yellow legs that nightly crowed so just.
That cock is stolen.
What? Was he fed out of the hen's roost?
I cannot tell where the devil he was kept under key or lock, but Tib the maid hath tickled in Gamma's ear that you should steal the cock.
So, Dickon says, Gamma blames Chat for this fictional theft. Chat is not having that and is all for going straight into battle, very loudly. But Dickon persuades her to wait and, more importantly, not to mention his name.
Needy bitch! Oh, that my nails be short!
Gogs, bread woman, hold your peace. This gear will else pass sport. I would not for £100 this matter should be known that I am author of this tale, or have abroad it blown.
He asks her to be silent until Gamma comes to her, and ideally only when he's safely out of the way, unnamed. Chat agrees reluctantly and gives him some ale as she goes.
And Dickon, but at your request I would not stay 1 hour.
Well, keep it in till she be here and then out let it pour. In the meantime get you in and make no words of this. More of this matter within the hour to hear you shall not miss. Because I know you are my friend, hide it, I could not doubt this. You know your harm. See ye be wise about your own business. So fare ye well.
Nay, soft Dickon, and drink. What, Doll, I say? Bring here a cup of the best ale, let's see. Come, quickly, away.
Off she goes, but Dickon can't risk this going further till he has primed Gamma with a tale of her own. But first, Hodge comes back in his fresh pair of also-still-holed breeches. He is wearing the breeches with the needle in, so it's possible that this is actually visible to the audience, that there's a piece of thread that is hanging from the needle, so we can play Watch the Needle as a game as an audience spectator. Or not. I may be overplaying the fact that the audience has been told where the needle is, but it is possible. Anyway, Hodge was afraid that Dickon might have been killed by his encounter with Satan. As you do.
Cheered him roar, straight after I was gone. But tell me, Dickon, what said the knave? Let me hear it anon.
The horse untalked to me, I know not well of what. One while his tongue it ran and poulted of a cat. Another while he stammered, still upon a rat. Last of all, there was nothing but every word chat, chat. But this I well perceived, before I would him rid, between Chat and the rat and the cat, the needle is hid. Oh, now, whether Jib our cat hath eat it in her moor, or Dr. Rat our curate hath found it in the straw, or this Dame Chat your neighbour hath stolen it.
God, he knoweth. But by the morrow at this time we shall learn how the matter goeth.
So the needle, according to Satan, as told to Dickon, is either with Chat, a rat, or the cat. And luckily, they know one Dr. Rat, the local curate, who will turn up later. Hodge, not seeing an end to this nightmare sooner, goes to find some short-term solution to the arse flap issue.
Here. Alas, Dickon, then t'have no shift. But lest I tarry too long, will I meet a Sim Glover's shop, there to seek for thong, there with this breech to thatch and tie, as I may.
Tomorrow, Hodge, if we chance to meet, shall see what I will say.
Exit Hodge. Enter Gamma, and Dickon is ready to set her up. He asks the audience to budge up a bit to give her room.
Now this gear must forward go, for here my Gammer cometh. Be still a while and say nothing. Make here a little roometh.
Good Lord, shall never be my luck my kneel again to spy. Alas, the while 'tis past my help where 'tis still it must lie.
Gamma explains to Dickon about the lost needle, and he's all, oh, is that all?
Oh, if this be all, good Gamma, I warrant you all is saved.
Why, know you any tidings which may my Neil is gone?
Yea, that I do, doubtless, as ye shall hear anon. I see a thing this matter toucheth within these 20 hours, even at this gate before my face by a neighbour of yours. She stooped me down, and up she took a needle or a pin. I durst be sworn it was even yours by all my mother's kin.
A neighbour took it? Who, Dickon?
Who was it, Leafson? Speak, I pray thee, and quickly tell me that.
Oh, a subtle queen as any in this town. Your neighbour here... Dame Chat.
Dame Chat!
Gamma is all for going straight to her, but again, Dickon wants to get away first. He doesn't mind setting this stuff up, but he doesn't want to be around when
that
it goes off.
Oh, my knee lack!
Slip not your gear, I counsel you, but of this take good heed. Let not be known I told you of it, how well soever ye speed.
Choil in, Dickon, a clean apron to take, and set before me. And I may my Neil once see, shall sure remember thee.
And off she goes, and Dickon is left to close the act, his plans for mischief laid. He considers the upcoming chaos, and then exits, calling on the musicians to...
In the meantime, fellows, pipe up! Your fiddles, I say, take them, and let your friends hear such mirth as ye can make them.
And so Act 2 ends as it began, with music. Which we're also not doing. Sorry again. And the act ends. If you have any thoughts about my brief breakdown of Act 2, or if you have any disagreements with my thoughts, or if I'm in plain error, let me know. I might re-edit based on your thoughts. And that's it for this spoiler episode. The full cast Super Deluxe edit will be coming anon, but till then, I've been your host, Robert Crichton, and here's the plain text of Act 2 to Gamma Gurton's Needle, performed by Hayden McCabe as Dickon the Bedlam, Geir Madland as Hodge, Sarah Golding as Gamma Gurton, and introducing Pamela Flanagan as Dame Chat.
Good stop, lovely, lovely, lovely.
Enjoy.
Well done, boy. Gog's malt, well sung and well said. Come on, Mother Chat. Oh, as thou art a true maid. One fresh pot of ale, let's see, to make an end against this cold weather, my naked arms to defend. This beer. Oh, it warms the soul. Now, wind, blow on thy worst, and let us drink and swill till our bellies burst. Oh. Now, were he a wise man, by cunning could define which way my journey lieth, or where Dickon will dine.
but one good turn I have, be it by night or day. South, east, north or west, I am never out of my way.
Which I'm goodly rewarded, am I not, do you think? Had a goodly dinner for all my sweat and swink. Neither butter, cheese, milk, onions, flesh, nor fish, save this poor piece of barley bread. 'Tis a pleasant, costly dish.
Hail, fellow hard, and well to fare with thy meat, if you have any. But by thy word, as I them smell, thy dainchels be not many.
Dainchels, Dickon? Cock so, man. Save this piece of dry horse bread, chap bit no bit this livelong day. No crumb come in my head. My guts, they yawl, crawl, and all my belly rumbleth. The puddings cannot lie still, each one over other tumbleth. By Gog's heart, chain's so vexed and in my belly penned, should one piece were at the spittle house, another at the castle's end.
Why, Hodge, was there none at home thy dinner for to set?
Oh, Gog's bread, Dickon. I came too late. Was nothing there to get. Jib, a foul fiend might on her light, licked the milk pan so clean. See, Dickon, 'twas not so well washed this 7 year, as I ween. A pestilence light on an ill luck. Chad thought yet for all this of a morsel of bacon behind the door at worst should not miss. But when I saw a slip to cut, as I was wont to do, Gog's soul, Dickon, Jib our cat had eat the bacon too.
Oh, ill luck, quoth he. Oh, marry, swear it. Hodge, this day, the truth to tell, thou rose not on thy right side, or else bless thee not well. Oh, thy milk slopped up, thy bacon filched. Oh, that was too bad luck, Hodge.
Nay, nay, there was a fouler fault. My gammer gave me the dodge. See's not out I'm rent and torn. My heels, my knees, and my breech. Chad thought as I sat by the fire, help, here and there a stitch. But there I was pooped indeed.
Why, Hodge?
Boots not, man, to tell. Cham so dressed amongst a sort of fools, Chad better be in hell. My gammer, Cham ashamed to say, by God, served me not well.
Ooh, how so, Hodge?
Where's she not gone, trowest now, though, and lost her kneel?
Her eel, Hodge?
Huh?
Who fished of late?
What?
That was a dainty dish.
Tush, tush. Her kneel, man. 'Tis neither flesh nor fish. A little thing with an hole in the end, as bright as any silver. Small, long, sharp at the point, and straight as any pillar.
I know not what a devil thou meanest.
What?
Thou bring'st me more in doubt.
Knowest not with what Tom Taylor's man sits broaching through a clout? A kneel, a kneel, a kneel. My gammer's kneel is gone.
Her kneel?
Yeah.
Hodge, oh, now I smell thee.
Oh, right.
Oh, that was a chance alone.
Yeah.
By the mass, thou hast a shameful loss. And it were but for thy breeches.
Oh, Gog so, man. Should give a crown, shed it but 3 stitches.
How sayest thou, Hodge? What should he have again thy needle got?
By my father's soul. And Chad it should give him a new groat.
Canst thou keep counsel in this case?
Else troll my tongue were out.
Do thou but then by my advice, and I will fetch it without doubt.
Shall run, shall ride, shall dig, shall delve, shall toil, shall trudge, shall see, shall hold, shall draw, shall pull, shall pinch, shall kneel on my bare knee. Shall scrape, shall scratch, shall sift, shall seek, shall bow, shall bend, shall sweat, shall stoop, shall stour, shall cap, shall kneel, shall creep on hands and feet. Shall be thy bondman, Dickon. I swear by sun and moon, and cannot somewhat to stop this gap, which am utterly undone.
Why, is there any special cause thou takest here at such sorrow?
Kirsten Clack. Tom Simpson's mate, by the mass, comes hither tomorrow. Cham not able to say between us what mayhap. She smiled on me the last Sunday, when I put off my cap.
Well, Hodge, this is a matter of weight and must be kept close. It might else turn to both our costs, as the world now goes. Shalt swear to be no blab, Hodge?
Child, Dickon.
Then go to. Lay thine hand here. Oh. Say after me, as thou shalt hear me do.
Yeah.
Hast no book?
Oh, cha no book, I.
Then needs must force us both.
Oh.
Upon my breech to lay thine hand, and there to take thine oath.
I, Arch Breechless, swear to Dickon Richless, by the cross that I shall kiss to keep his counsel close, and always me to dispose to work that his pleasure is.
Now, Hodge, see thou take heed, and do as I thee bid, for so I judge it meet, this needle again to win. There is no shift therein, but conjure up a spreet.
What? The great devil, Dickon, I say?
Oh, yea, in good faith, that is the way. Fet with some pretty char.
Soft, Dickon. Be not too hasty yet. By the mass, for I begin to sweat. I'm afraid of some harm.
Come hither then, and stir thee not. Oh. 1 inch out of this circle plat, but stand as I thee teach.
And shall I be here safe from their claws?
The master devil, with his long paws, here too thee cannot reach. Now will I settle me to this gear. Domine Padre.
I say, Dickon, hear me. Here, go softly to this matter.
What devil, man, art afraid of naught?
Canst not tarry a little thought till I make a courtesy of water?
Stand still to it. Why shouldst thou fear him?
Gog sides, Dickon, methink I hear him, and tarry shall mar all.
The matter is no worse than I told
it. By the mass, I'm able no longer to hold it. So bad, I must array the all.
Stand to it, Hodge. Stir not, you whoreson. Oh, what devil be thine arse-string bursting? All I sell a while, but stay. The devil, I smell him, will be here anon.
Hold him fast, Dickon. Cham gone, cham gone. Shall not be at that fray.
Foy, shitten knave, and out upon thee. Above all other louts, fight on thee! Is not here a cleanly prank? But thy matter was no better, nor thy presence here no sweeter. To fly I can thee thank. Here is a matter worthy glossing of Gammer Gurton's needle lossing, and a foul piece of work. A man, I think, might make a play and need no word to this, they say, being but half a clerk. Soft, let me alone. I will take the charge this matter further to enlarge within a time short. If ye will mark my toys and note, I will give ye leave to cut my throat if I make not good sport. Dame Chat, I say, where be ye within?
Who have we there maketh such a din?
Here is a good fellow, maketh no great danger.
Oh, what Dickon? Come near, ye be no stranger. We be fast at a trump man, hard by the fire. Thou shalt sit on the king if thou come a little nigher.
Nay, nay, there is no tarrying, I must be gone again. But first for you, in council, I have a word or twain.
Come hither, Doll! Doll, sit down and play this game. And as thou sawest me do, see thou do even the same. There is 5 trumps beside the queen, the hindmost thou shalt find her. Take heed of Sim Glover's wife, she hath an eye behind her. Now, Dickon, say your will.
Nay, soft a little yet. I would not tell it my sister. The matter is so great. There, I will have you swear by our dear lady of Belaine, St. Dunstan and St. Donnick with the 3 kings of Killeen, that ye shall keep it secret.
God's breath, that will I do. As secret as mine own thought, by God and the devil too.
Here is Gammer Gurton, your neighbour, a sad and heavy wight. Her goodly fair red cock at home was stole this last night.
Gog's soul! Her cock with the yellow legs that nightly crowed so just.
That cock is stolen.
What? Was he fed out of the hen's roost?
I cannot tell where the devil he was kept under key or lock, but Tib the maid hath tickled in Gamma's ear that you should steal the cock.
Have I? Strong whore by bread and salt.
What soft I say, be still. Say not one word for all this gear.
By the mass that I will. I will have the young whore by the head and the old throat by the throat.
Not one word, Dame. I say not one word for my coat.
Shall such a beggar's brawl as that, thinkest thou, make me a thief? The pox light on her hoard sides, a pestilence and mischief. Come out, thou hungry, needy bitch! Oh, that my nails be short!
Gogs, bread woman, hold your peace. This gear will else pass sport. I would not for £100 this matter should be known that I am author of this tale, or have abroad it blown. Did ye not swear ye would be ruled before the tale I told? I said ye must all secret keep, and ye said sure ye would.
Would you suffer yourself, Dickon, such a sort to revile you, with slanderous words to blot your name and so to defile you?
No, good wife Chat, I would be loath such drabs should blot my name, but yet ye must so order all that Dickon bear no blame.
Go to, then. What is your rede? Say on your mind, ye shall me rule herein.
God a mercy, Dame Chat. In faith thou must the gear begin. It is £20 to a goose turd. My Gamma will not tarry, but hitherward she comes as fast as her legs can carry, to brawl with you about her cock. For when I heard Tib say, the cock was roasted in your house to breakfast yesterday, and when ye had the carcass eaten, the feathers ye outflung, and all your maid the legs she hid, a foot deep in the dung.
Oh, gracious God, my heart, it bursts!
Well, rule yourself a space, and Gamma Girton, when she cometh anon into this place, then to the queen let's see. Tell her your mind, and spare not, so shall Dickon blameless be. And then go to. I care not.
Then, or beware her throat. I can abide no longer. In faith, old witch, it shall be seen which of us two be stronger. And Dickon, but at your request, I would not stay 1 hour.
Well, keep it in till she be here, and then out let it pour. In the meantime, get you in, and make no words of this. More of this matter within the hour to hear you shall not miss. Because I know you are my friend, hide it, I could not doubt this. You know your harm, see ye be wise about your own business. So fare ye well.
Nay, soft Dickon, and drink. What, doll, I say? Bring here a cup of the best ale, let's see. Come, quickly, away.
Ye see, masters, the one end tapped of this my short device. Now must we broach t'other too, before the smoke arise. And by the time they have a while run, I trust you need not crave it. But look what lieth in both their hearts. You are like sure to have it.
Yea, Gog's soul. Art alive yet? What, Dickon, dare I come?
A man is well hight to trust to thee. I will say nothing but mum. But, and ye come any nearer, I pray ye see all be sweet.
Tush, man, is Gammer's Neil found? That should gladly weep.
She may thank thee, it is not found. For if thou had kept thy standing, the devil he would have fit it out, even Hodge at thy commanding.
Gog's heart, and could he tell nothing where the Neil might be found?
Ye foolish dolt, you were to seek ere we had got our ground. Therefore his tale so doubtless was that I could not perceive it.
Then I see well something was said. Troop one day yet to have it. But, Dickon, did not the devil cry, ho, ho, ho?
If thou hadst tarried where thou stoodest, thou would have said so.
To swear of a book, churred him roar, straight after I was gone. But tell me, Dickon, what said the knave? Let me hear it anon.
The horse untalked to me, I know not well of what. One while his tongue it ran and poulted of a cat. Another while he stammered, still upon a rat.
Last of all, there was nothing but every word chat, chat. But this I well perceived. Before I would him rid, between chat and the rat and the cat, the needle is hid. Oh, now, whether Jib our cat hath eat it in her moor, or Dr. Rat our curate hath found it in the straw, or this dame chat your neighbour hath stolen it, God he knoweth. But by the morrow at this time we shall learn how the matter goeth.
What, canst not learn tonight, man? Cease not what is here.
'Tis not possible to make it sooner appear.
Alas, Dickon, then t'have no shift. But lest I tarry too long, will I meet a Sim Glover's shop, there to seek for thong, there with this breech to thatch and tie as I may.
Tomorrow, Hardy, if we chance to meet, shall see what I will say.
Farewell, Dickon.
Now this gear must forward go, for here my gammer cometh. Be still a while and say nothing. Make here a little roometh.
Good Lord, shall never be my luck my Neil again to spy. Alas, the while 'tis past my help where 'tis still it must lie.
Now, Jesus, Gammer Gurton, what driveth you to this sadness? I fear me, by my conscience, you will show fault of madness.
Who is that? What, Dickon? Oh, jam lost man. Fie, fie.
Oh, marry, fie on them that be worthy. But what should be your trouble?
Alas, the more I think on it, my sorrow it waxeth double. My goodly tossing spurious Neil ch'have lost. Ich wot not where.
Your Neil? When?
My Neil. Alas, Ike might full ill it spare. As God himself he knoweth, ne'er one beside chaff.
Oh, if this be all, good Gamma, I warrant you all is saved.
Why, know you any tidings which may my Neil is gone?
Yea, that I do, doubtless, as ye shall hear anon. I see a thing this matter toucheth within these 20 hours, even at this gate before my face by a neighbour of yours. She stooped me down, and up she took a needle or a pin. I durst be sworn it was even yours by all my mother's kin.
It was my Neil, Dickon. Ich wot, for here, even by this post I sat, what time as I upstart, and so my Neil I lost. Who was it, leaf son? Speak, I pray thee, and quickly tell me that.
Oh, a subtle queen as any in this town. Your neighbour here, Dame Chat.
Dame Chat? Dickon, let me be gone. Child, thither in post-haste.
Take my counsel yet ere ye go, for fear ye walk in waste. It is a murry and crafty drab and froward to be pleased. And ye take not a better way, your needle yet ye lose it. For when she took it up, even here before your doors...
Avaunt, quoth she, Sir Knave, what pratest thou of that I find? Oh, I would thou hadst kissed me, I wot where, she meant I know behind. And home she went, as brag as it had been a body louse, and I after as bold as it had been the goodman of the house. But there, and ye had heard her, how she began to scold.
Oh, the tongue it went on pattens! By him that Judas sold. Each other word I was a knave and you a whore of whores.
Because I spake in your behalf and said the needle was yours.
God's bread! And thinks that callet thus to keep my needle me from.
Let her alone and she minds none other. But even to dress you so.
By the mass, shall rather spend the coat that is on my back. Thanks the false queen by such a slight that told my Neil lack.
Slip not your gear, I counsel you, but of this take good heed. Let not be known I told you of it, how well soever ye speed.
Choil in, Dickon, a clean apron to take and set before me, and I may my Neil once see, shall sure remember thee.
Here will the sport begin.
If these two ones may meet, their cheer, thus lay money, will prove scarcely sweet. My gammer sure intends to be upon her bones, with staves or with clubs, or else with cobblestones. Dame Chat, on the other side, if she be far behind, I am right far deceived she is given to it of kind. He that may tarry by it a while, and that but short, I warrant him trust to it, he shall see all the sport. Into the town will I, my friends to visit there, and hither straight again to see the end of this gear. In the meantime, fellows, pipe up. Your fiddles, I say, take them, and let your friends hear such mirth as ye can make them.